Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, Ireland is seeking to build an alliance of EU countries to block the passage of the controversial Mercosur trade deal, the text of which was unveiled yesterday by the European Commission. That's according to this morning's Irish Times. Now, the agreement is between the EU and a number of South American countries, including Brazil and Argentina. It would be the largest trade deal in the world. But as we know, it's opposed by both farmers and environmental groups. Olaf Gill is spokesperson for the EU on trade and financial services, and he's on the line now. Good morning to you.
Hi, Claire. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. Thank you for being with us. What do you think of Ireland's attempts, as we see reported this morning, to join this blocking minority now to stop the deal?
I think we need to look at the facts here, Claire. So what happened was last December, the European Union and the Mercosur countries, those being Brazil, Argentina, Paraguay, Uruguay, concluded the political negotiations for a comprehensive trade and partnership agreement. Those negotiations have been ongoing in one form or another for 25 years. Since December, what has happened is the Commission, in charge of trade policy on behalf of the European Union, has been in close contact with our member states, with our businesses, and in particular with our farmers. And what they told us was that they were concerned about the prospects of certain products, in particular coming from Brazil and Argentina, that could be considered sensitive here in the EU, such as beef and poultry. Mm-hmm. Farmers are concerned that such products come in large numbers into the EU. So what we have done already in December, we had put in place a very clear plan to ensure that no major damage could be done to our farming sector or to our agri-food businesses here in the EU. I'll have to go through it in detail with you very quickly, if I may. So first of all, a maximum of 1.6% for beef, 1.3% for poultry of total EU production would be allowed into the European Union in terms of exports from the Mercosur region. Those preferences would be phased in over 7 years. So over 7 years, they would be gradually phased in.
Yeah, 99,000 kg of beef over 7 years.
99,000 tons per annum. This would happen at the end of the 7 years, correct. Uh-huh. But the point is that already in December, we said that we would have strong safeguards in place to ensure that if we saw any sort of a harmful surge in such products coming into the EU, that we would have safeguards in place to put tariffs back in and to make sure that we got control of the situation. What we have done since December, having spoken to our farmers and states, is we're now putting that into hard legal, operationalized text, if you like, so that this is a legally binding commitment that if anywhere in the EU, not just at member state level, but could be at regional level, if we were to see, for example, an unexpected increase in beef exports from Mercosur that could pose harm to our farming sector, automatically, legally, an investigation would be launched and the possibility would be there to put a stop to it, basically.
And so how can you explain to me, how does the member state, so let's say Ireland in 24 months' time, reckons its farmers have a real problem on foot of this deal? How does it go about proving that, and how will it be accepted by the EU?
Well, it's very simple. You prove it with statistics. You prove it with facts. If you can show that the beef imports from the Mercosur region, so if we take beef as the classical example, if they have increased suddenly and to a large degree in a way that has caused prices to drop, for example, and therefore is hitting the bottom line of our farmers, if that happens and we can have evidence to show that, we look into the details, we'll conduct a swift investigation, and we'll put these safeguards in place as necessary. And I would just want to say as well as on top of that, Claire, on top of these additional safeguards, which we don't believe will ever be needed, by the way, because of the phased-in 7-year limited quota approach I've already mentioned, on top of the safeguards, we've now put in place, as part of our budget proposal, a big, big, big pot of money, 6.3 billion euros, what we're calling as a safety net for crisis measures. So even if the safeguards don't work, if there's some totally unexpected crisis, we have put in place this insurance policy of 6.3 billion euros in a kind of an agricultural reserve for which our farmers can access should that be necessary. So what we've done since political talks were concluded with Mercosur in December is put in place this strong, strong range of backstops, of insurance policy for our farmers. And we believe with this in place, they can now support the deal.
We were discussing this on the programme with Barry Cowan, MEP, and his suggestion is that this needs to be looked at very closely. And he has said that he will do that, the deal. But he also suggested that there might be a win here for Irish farmers on extending the nitrates derogation or perhaps when it comes to cap budget negotiations. Do you agree?
I'm not going to comment on the nitrates because that's not my area. On the cap budget, I mean, you know, I don't think it's any secret that farmers across Europe are the top priority for budget support in any given European budget. And the proposal that's come from the Commission is for a very, very substantial pot of money to ensure that our farmers have sustainable livelihoods for the future. On the Mercosur deal as well, Claire, I should add that there's, you know, that we have put in place these strong, strong protections for our sensitive EU sectors. But there's also strong export potential for other agricultural sectors in the EU to Mercosur. We estimate that if this deal comes into force for across a range of areas, we could increase our exports to the Mercosur region, for example, dairy products, increase them by 50% before 2040. So we have to look at these things in the round. Strong protections for our sensitive sectors and real upside for our exporting sector.
Do you think it's wise for Ireland to align itself to this potentially blocking minority?
I think Ireland, like all member states, should look at the facts here. We're dealing with the challenging geopolitical situation. We know we've had our challenges with the United States in particular. With these trade agreements, and it's not just Mercosur yesterday, by the way, we also presented the updated trade deal with Mexico, which is nothing but good news for agricultural exporters in the EU, nothing but upside. With these deals, we're generating new opportunities for our farmers, for our businesses. We're generating potential for them to stay competitive in the global economy. As well as that, we're getting closer to a like-minded region. And that counts in this day and age, Claire. It really does. So what I would say to Ireland, what I would say to all of you member states is, look at the big picture, look at the facts. If you're satisfied that the economic opportunities presented by these deals are good, and if you're reassured by the protections we've put in place for our sensitive sectors, particularly in the agri-food space, then you can support this deal, and we hope you will.
Now, our food in the EU is produced to very high standards, and Francie Gorman, who's president of the Irish Farmers Association, is worried about what might happen on that side. He says it's hypocritical and contradictory to insist on the highest standards for European producers only to allow Mercosur countries access without reaching the same standards. So who's going to check the beef?
Well, again, here, because we have listened so closely to farmers like Francie and across the EU, we have taken additional steps since political talks were concluded in December to offer additional reassurances on precisely this issue. So first of all, let me be entirely clear on this. No EU food health or safety standards will change with the Mercosur deal. What that means is that any product that enters the EU has to adhere to the same high food health and safety standards for food that's produced in the EU. That's not going to change. That's going to remain the case. In order to make sure that there's no slippage and that there's no nothing slips through the cracks, with this proposal, we're putting in place additional customs checks, and we're going to have a more structured cooperation with Brazil in particular to make sure that nothing enters the EU that falls below our standards.
But the EU can't inspect farms and producers in these Mercosur countries.
No, but we inspect what comes into the European Union. That's the point I'm trying to make here, Claire. Mm-hmm. There's no evidence of any product having entered the EU from Brazil or any other Mercosur country that has fallen below the standards I'm talking about. So we need to have this debate based on the facts. And
the facts for Irish farmers are there's going to be beef and poultry coming into the EU from South America. That's what they see. That's what they're worried about.
The facts for Irish farmers are that a limited phased-in increase in those products can happen. But if you look at the overall trade agreement, Mercosur, and these strong protections we've put in,
Irish farmers and farmers across the EU can be fully reassured that there will not be any adverse impact on their ability to get the best prices for their world-class products. And also, I must add, Claire, and it's important that this is always recalled, if you look at the overall picture for trade in agri-food products, we have something like a 60 or 70 billion euro surplus in the EU. So when farmers say that they are subjected to the highest standards of production in the world, that's absolutely accurate, and that is challenging for them. But that also means that they have the best, the most premium product available globally. We sell those around the world, and thanks to our efforts with the trade deals that the EU has put in place, we're talking about a 70 billion euro agri-trade surplus. So let's please look at the big picture.
Okay, and do you think, and I read this, it was suggested in an analysis this morning that I saw in the Irish Times, that Ireland might be isolated within the EU if it votes against Mercosur. Do you foresee that happening?
I'm just going to repeat what I've said. We believe that with this deal, and particularly with the additional safeguards and reassurances we've put in place since December, we have something that our farmers and our member states can support. So we're asking them to please look at it in detail, look at what we've added since December, look at the big picture and what's happening in the world here, and we're confident that they will see that this deal is, on the whole, a very positive development for Ireland and for the European Union.
And what's your sense of which way France and Italy might go on this one?
I'm not going to speculate on which way they will go. I'm simply going to repeat that we've put a hell of a deal on the table, and we believe they can support it.
But you're pleading with these countries, really, to support this.
No, I'm simply pointing out that already in December, we had an excellent deal in terms of economic, political and diplomatic ties with the Mercosur region. Since then, we've put in place additional safeguards and reassurances so that our farmers also can support it. And if we look at the big picture, if we look at the facts, this is a good deal.
All right, but you can understand farmers' concerns, I'm sure.
Absolutely, and farmers are always uppermost in the European Commission's minds when it comes to negotiating trade deals, both on the offensive side, in other words, finding new opportunities for them across global markets, but equally on the defensive side to assure that our beef farmers, our poultry farmers and any other farmers that are worried about negative impacts of trade deals are fully protected.
Olaf Gill, thank you for joining us on the programme. Olaf Gill is spokesperson for the EU on trade and financial services. Now, coming up, deporting prisoners and choosing a presidential candidate. The Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, joins us here in the studio. Plus, students not in school since last Wednesday will be hearing about the impact of the caretakers and school secretaries' strike.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.